You're listening to Episode 1 of Zyferia's Call, a Tanith Fairport Adventure, Book 2. Written and read by Nathan Lowell. Chapter 1. Dirty Deeds. Tanith woke with the pale morning light shining around the cracks in the door. Outside, the sounds of oxen, carts, and the men who used them drowned out the sounds of mourning birds. She growled in the back of her throat. They hadn't considered that building an inn for the village would mean an end to quiet mornings. She sighed and flung the covers back. The sudden chill struck her and forced her to scurry to the hearth where the banked coal still offered a bit of warmth. The equinox might have been right around the corner, but nights were still cold, and she wanted her morning tea. Her footfalls on the woven mats should have warned her. The scritch-scratch of talons on the floor should have prepared her for the black wings that waved to fan the flames, wafting light gray ash from the stones and into the air, into her mouth, coating her throat until she coughed with a hoarse, "Caw! Caw!" Her heart pounded in her chest as she tried to force herself awake. It was just a dream. It wasn't real. She'd wake and all would be well. The horny beak that made her lips would be gone. The wings would be hands again. She turned back to her cot. Perhaps if she got back into bed, it would end. A man-sized shape, his gray hair sticking out of the covers, stirred in her bed. Frank mustn't see her like this. He couldn't. If he saw her, it might be real. Frank Crane rolled over and blinked at her several times before smiling. "Good morning. You're up early," he said. "Sleep well." Unable to catch her breath, Tana struggled to make sense of her surroundings. The fine ash had settled on her glossy black wings, mottling them and dulling the sheen. Behind her, the warming fire felt too warm, too hot. She peered over her shoulder, her black feathered shoulder, to see the tip of a long tail feather nearly brushing the coals. Her scream was a raucous caw. Frank pushed himself up, alarm on his face. "Tanith, what is it? Tanith, what's the matter?" Something shoved her, shook her, a hand on her shoulder where nobody stood, and suddenly she was in her bed, looking up at Frank's terrified eyes. "Tanith, talk to me, old woman. What is it?" he said. Tanith sucked in a breath, feeling the cold air burning through her raw throat. "Were you dreaming?" he asked. Tanith struggled to get her arms free of the tangled covers, and Frank shifted his weight to let her bring her fingers up in front of her face. Tanned and wrinkled though they might be, they were her fingers. "Yeah," she said, testing the word, afraid of the sound that might come from her throat. "Yeah, it was the dream." She looked up into his face, searching for something, but she didn't know what. "You were there. You saw me." He hugged her then, wrapping strong arms around her and holding her close and warm against him. "It was just a dream, Tanith," he murmured. "Why am I having it, Frank?" "You're not going mad," he said, pressing his cheek to the top of her head. "If I'd been through what you've been through in the last half year, I'd be having nightmares too." She felt like she wanted to cry, but the sobs wouldn't come. "Besides," he said, a lilt in his voice, "every woman I ever met was going through the change, thought she was going mad. Between the mood swings and the hot flashes, every one of 'em was ready to bark at the moon at some point. I figure you're just following the tradition." She let him hold her, taking comfort in his strength and his warmth. She heard the calls of the drovers with their ox carts outside in the inn's yard. She knew he had no better answers than she did, and all her answers pointed north, pointed toward Gertie Pinecrest. Golden morning light filtered through the treetops, slashing the yard with bands of sun and shade. Tanith Fairport shrugged her winter coat closer to her body, even as the golden rays offered the promise of summer. The back of winter may have been broken, but its cold fingers still dug into her old bones. She leaned back against the rough planks of the cottage and lifted her mug of tea to sip, favoring its minty bite as she watched man and beast struggling to sort themselves into order in the sea of mud that used to be the inn's dooryard. Frank came out of the inn, down the log steps, and picked his way around the soggy circus. He joined her on the marginally higher ground. "I didn't think about that when we were planning," he said, nodding at the tangle of man, animal, and cart. "The mud, you mean?" He gave a half shrug. "Well, the mud, no, not that either. We'll have to get some gravel to fill in there." He grimaced and rubbed a hand across his mouth. "I was thinking about the number of people." "What? You didn't think people would stop?" "Not that so much. I thought it would start out kind of slow, you know? He looked at her, a rueful smile curving his lips. A few here, a couple there. It'd give us a chance to get things settled. Tanith chuckled at his expression, but nodded her understanding. It's been pretty steady since they opened the doors. We probably should have figured that would happen. The timing's just about perfect, I guess. Frank squinted his eyes and thought. 3 days from Wasport to the north, 3 more down to Fernsvale in the south. I just never figured it'd be so much traffic willing to spend the night on the way. After 2 or 3 days on the road, you don't think folks would be looking for a night with a warm fire and someone else's cooking? She shot him a pointed glance out of the corner of her eye. I thought you were a traveling man. He laughed and wrapped one strong arm around her shoulders. I never really thought of it that way. I always stop here. He kissed the top of her head. Yeah, but you live here. That's why we needed you to stop in Tullis. I'd have never thought of it on my own, and the rest don't travel enough for it to occur to them. The chaos in front of them sorted itself into a semblance of order as the lead drover stood at the front of his team and raised his staff. Hoy! He cried. The other teamsters responded by raising their own sticks, or sometimes just a hand, and an answering shout of, Ya! The team boss used his free hand to count the raised arms. Apparently satisfied, he gave a short nod and nudged his team into motion. Get up there, he said. His voice carried clearly to where Tanith and Frank stood watching. One by one, the teams heaved themselves out of the muck and trundled down the path to the pike, each making the turn southward. In much less time than Tanith thought possible, the yard was empty except for Jakey's old yellow dog, snuffling the ground where the oxen had left their droppings. How long before you head north? Tanith asked, without looking at Frank. Well, he said, drawing the word out as he considered. Didn't get much clay packed last fall, so we're going to make up for it. Another week, probably 2, before Jakey and his boys get a load ready. A raven cawed loudly, and both Tanith and Frank looked up to the inn's roof, where the raven strutted back and forth along the ridgepole. I can't convince you to stay. Frank's voice trailed off at the end, more statement than question. Tanith sighed and laid a hand on his arm. You know I can't. It's not you. It's her, he said, jerking his chin in the direction of the raven. Yeah. That dream scares you that much? He asked. Yeah, she said, looking down at the toes of her boots, damp from the morning dew. After this morning, I need to go even more. If I get stuck in a dream, I might never be human again. He arched one shaggy eyebrow at her. You don't believe that. No. Her voice caught in her throat. But it scares me spitless to think it could happen. I'm guessing Gertie Pinecrest can tell me one way or t'other if I'm going mad. You're not going mad. The frustration sounded clearly in his growl. Why Gertie Pinecrest? You never met the woman. How can you be so sure? Tanith shrugged. I don't know, Frank. I can't be sure. I'm not sure. But she's the only answer I got at the moment. Could be I'll get up there and I can't find her. She won't teach me. Or she'll tell me I'm really... Tanith's voice cut off. The sudden emotion of it squeezing her throat shut. You're not crazy, Frank said, his voice firm and his arm hugging her to his side in an oddly reassuring gesture. Another voice spoke up, startling them both. You're not crazy, Mum. I know it. Rebecca stood at the corner of the hut, her eyes downcast and her fingers twisting together like small animals in a nest. Rebecca, you gave me such a start, Tanith said, hand to her chest and willing her heartbeat to settle down. Oh, sorry, Mom. She gave a small, contrite smile. And good morning, Frank. Morning, Becca. That's all right, Tanith said. Just took me by surprise. Rebecca nodded. Sorry. I just wanted to ask... Her voice petered out. Ask what, my dear? Tanith asked, shooting a curiosity-laden glance at Frank, who only shrugged in return. Mom, you're leaving when the shipment goes... Tanith blinked at the apparent non-sequitur and gave a little nod. Yes, when Frank takes the first load. Take me with you, Mum. Tanith shared another glance with Frank. Take you with me? To Cleesport? She asked. No, Rebecca said, her words tumbling out in a rush. Well, yes, but beyond, to see Mother Pinecrest. Tanith cocked her head to one side and regarded the younger woman. You want to see Gertie Pinecrest? Why? Rebecca shuffled her feet in the damp grass and looked at her writhing hands. Well, Mom, it's not so much to see Mother Pinecrest, Mom. Her voice trailed off. "Are you tired of living in Ravenwood, then?" Frank prompted. Rebecca frowned at that and shot him a look of apology. "Not exactly, but maybe a bit." "Then what is it?" Tanith asked. Rebecca shrugged again. "I'd like to travel with you, Mum. Go where you go, see what you see." Tanith shuddered at the image of black wingtips where fingers should be and had to blink back the spike of fear. "What makes you say that?" she asked. The morning sun tipped over the tree line to the east and flooded the village with golden morning light. Tanith turned to bask in the warmth for a moment, letting Rebecca gather her thoughts. When the younger woman didn't respond, she said, "It's likely to be dangerous, my dear. And I don't know if Mother Pinecrest will take me on. We could get all the way up there and have to come back." She felt Frank stiffen and looked to see him gazing down at her, hope in his eyes. "Would you come back?" he asked. "Might have to." She smiled at him and reached over to pat his cheek. "But don't plan on it." She saw the light fade as he looked away and nodded his understanding. "More dangerous than Andy Birchwood and his boys trying to burn us out, kill us in our beds?" Rebecca asked, her voice almost lost in the morning breeze. Tanith shifted her weight and rubbed her fingertips over her lips as if to wipe away a bad taste. "Possibly," she said at last. "But mostly long days, cold nights, and not knowing where we're going or what we're doing." She paused and considered the young woman for a moment. "Why do you want to go?" "Well, Mum, you're going off somewhere special, and there's nothing here for me." The younger woman raised her head and jutted her chin out in the direction of the inn. "I can wait tables and help out in the inn, sure, but it's not something I want to spend my life doing." Tanith looked to the hulking building just as Sadie came out with a straw broom and began sweeping down the porch and steps, clearing away the tracked-in dirt from a long night and morning of traffic. The scritch-swish sound of the straw on the rough boards sounded much closer than it was. Tanith lowered her voice a bit. "What do you want, my dear?" Rebecca sighed and shrugged, pulling her hands away from each other as if to force them to be still. "I don't really know, Mum." A cawing from the ridgepole of the inn's roof nearly drowned her voice. All eyes went to the heavy black bird. She cawed once more before launching herself into the warming air, and with three powerful pumps of black wings, glided into the shadowed forest behind the inn. "It's just that, well, Mum, when we came out here, there was a lot of people. It was an adventure, you know?" Her eyes went from Tanith's face to Frank's and back again. "People my own age, all starting out to leave the city behind and start fresh." Tanith smiled and nodded. "And now?" "Well, almost everybody left now is married or claimed." Rebecca's glance went to Frank before looking down once more, or otherwise occupied. "Too old?" Frank asked. She shot him a smile that held equal parts chagrin and agreement. "A lot of the corpsmen are still single," Frank said. "Carl, Matt, good men." Rebecca shifted her weight from side to side and gave a half-hearted shrug. "Yeah, but Carl and Matt think of me as their little sister. Richard is too old and David's too young." "He's 2 winters older than you are," Frank said. Rebecca shot him a venomous look from under her eyebrows. "You know that's not what I mean," she muttered. He uttered a single laugh and said, "Yep, I know." "So you think this is another adventure, then?" Tanith asked. "Well, in a way, yes, Mum, but not really." Rebecca took a deep breath and blew it out through her nose, turning her head to scan the village and surrounding forest. "When we came out here, I thought, perhaps, I'd find a husband, start a family of my own. It might have happened, it could have, but it never did, you know?" She looked in Tanith's eyes. "Oh, yes, my dear, I know." Tanith shot a sideways glance at Frank. Rebecca saw the look and blushed. "Yes, well, I've been thinking about it for a while. Then this fall and winter with you here, Mum, and Birchwood came, and I was so scared. But you were here, and everything was all right." "I was scared, too," Tanith said, breaking in on the flow. "Yes, Mum, I suppose we all were, but you helped us anyway." Rebecca's head came up, and she gazed directly at Tanith. "You stood up and helped us. Even after you got caught up and we all took turns tending you, you got better and kept going, kept pushing forward, Mum. Even when you thought you were going mad, Mum, even after that horrible man..." Her voice broke. "Josh, my dear. He had a name. Josh. Tanith said. The words sounded rough to Tanith's own ears. Even so, Mum, he kidnapped you and dragged you out into the wood, and you got away. And you? Well, you got away. You're strong. You're moving on. Rebecca's fingers had found each other again and took one last writhing twist before she pulled them apart, holding her hands at her sides. I want to go with you, Mum, to see what happens next. Her voice fell almost to a whisper. To maybe find something of my own. Tanith regarded the younger woman for several heartbeats before glancing up at Frank, who merely shrugged. Tanith turned back to meet Rebecca's eyes. Give me a day to think about it. I can be helpful, Mum. I've been learning stuff from Thomas about woodscraft and such. Rebecca's eager voice trailed off as Tanith held up a hand. I'm sure you can, my dear. But this is more about me than you. I'm used to traveling by myself. It's sometimes dangerous and frightening. I don't know how I feel about leading someone else into it. Frank took a breath as if to say something, but when Tanith looked up at him, he merely coughed into his hand and reached for a handkerchief. I understand, Mum. Tanith smiled at her. Thank you, my dear. Just give me till tomorrow. Come see me in the morning. Rebecca's face brightened. Thank you, Mum. No promises, Tanith cut in. I need to think about it. Rebecca nodded several times. Of course, Mum. I understand. I do. But you didn't say no yet. That's something. Tanith huffed a laugh out and nodded her agreement. True. Now scoot. Rebecca smiled and nodded to Frank one more time before scampering off toward the inn. Tanith watched the young woman go before glancing up to see Frank looking down at her. Something in his expression made her frown at him. What is it? You're going to let her go with you? He asked, looking at Rebecca's retreating back. Tanith gave a noncommittal shrug. I really don't know, she said. Honestly, I've been traveling on my own so long I wouldn't know what to do with her. She felt Frank stiffen slightly. Is that why you won't stay here? He didn't look down at her, just continued gazing off into the village. Stay with you, you mean? Tanith said, poking him in the ribs with one sharp finger. He looked down and gave her an abashed-looking smile. Yeah, well, with me and the rest of the people here. He paused, his eyes searching her face for something. You have a home here, you know. Yours for the taking. She laid one hand against his weathered face and caught his wandering gaze in hers. You know I can't do that. Her voice was barely louder than the winds whispering in the pine tops behind the cabin. He lifted one shoulder in acknowledgement. I know what you say, Tanith, but I still don't believe it. You're not going crazy. She huffed out a single bark of laughter. You're not, he insisted. Frank, normal people do not see things through Raven's eyes. It's just not natural. She withdrew her hand and scrubbed her lips again with her fingertips. When I woke up this morning and couldn't pucker to blow on the fire because I had a beak. She closed her eyes and shook her head as if to rid herself of the memory. But that was a dream, Tan. You and I both know that. Nightmare more like. Exactly. And you woke up, she scoffed. You did. You woke up and it was just a dream, he said. But what if I hadn't? What if it wasn't? Her eyes searched his craggy face and turned. What if it was a warning? Warning? Warning of what? He sounded curious and a bit frustrated. She sighed and folded her arms under her breast as if hugging herself for warmth. Her eyes scanned the now familiar landscape of the village, stopping here and there with no apparent reason. Finally, she turned her gaze back to his. If I knew that, Frank Crane, I wouldn't have to go now, would I? Frank drew a deep breath and blew it out before screwing his mouth into a grimace. No, he said, I don't suppose you would. The sound of a horse's whinny wafted in the morning breeze. Sounds like I'm needed at the barn, Frank said, glancing down at her once more, and probably just as well. He took three steps before she asked, What do you mean by that? He gave her a devilish grin over his shoulder, but didn't stop walking. Any time a woman uses a man's full name, it's time he finds a place to hide. The barn'll do for now. Under other circumstances, the comment might have earned him a sour look, but Tanith saw the twinkle in his eye and a chuckle bubbled out of her. Frank gave her a wink and a nod, and his long legs soon carried him out of sight around the inn. She stood there for a few more moments, her fingers seeking her lips once again. Somewhere in the forest, a squirrel chittered and drew her gaze in the direction of the noise. You're a foolish old woman, she muttered to herself. but her fingertips continued to reassure her that her lips were still lips, that her fingers were flesh and blood, not feathers. "Foolish," she repeated, before rousing herself to go back into the hut. She slipped the latch and ducked her head, as she'd done 100 times. The lintels on the doors were low, and she had to step down 3 steps to enter the cozy hut. She'd managed to get in and out of that very door untold numbers of times all winter long. Yet she clipped her head on the top of the door, and the bright pain pushed her off balance. Her foot missed the first step, heel catching on the second as she pitched forward into the room, empty teacup flying, holding out her arms to break her fall. The dry twig snap of her forearm seemed loud in the quiet room before the sharp pain blossomed. She lay there on the woven grass mat of the floor, cradling her arm and cursing herself silently until the pain made her pant the words aloud. "Foolish old woman." Thanks for listening to Zyferia's Call. The music is The Hill, written by Ivan Chu and used by permission. Learn more about Ivan Chu and his music at myrightbrain.wordpress.com. This has been a presentation from Durandist, offered under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 U.S. license. To learn more about the worlds of Tanith Fairport, visit lamaswood.com. And for more information about the author and his works, visit nathanlowell.com.